will say that you are telling us a lot about sunnat, but this sunnat you are not doing, in that way you will get an indictment.
The wife will still be somewhat considerate, though she says what she wants to say. She doesn't pull her punches. She tells the husband exactly what she wants to say. But the children, even more, they are such. They will tell, Abbo, you told us to this, you tell us to do that, now you're not doing it yourself. So if we really want our Islah, the best Islah is made by the wife and the children. They will tell us clearly. Others will still be shy to tell us, but they will tell us exactly as it is. And if we are, the first point is we must be sincere that we want our Islam. With regard to that, one example I will mention, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned this beautiful example that every Muslim in the world wants Islam to come alive. Everyone wants that Islam must be alive in the whole world. So he gives an example that every human being, man or woman, is a whole country of his, of on his own. And in this country of his, he has got many provinces. The provinces of the brain, the head, province of the eye, province of the tongue, ears, hands, legs, heart, all provinces. And he's the lifelong president of this country. He doesn't have to fight for election, he doesn't have to fight elections, doesn't have to get votes, he doesn't have to lie to get votes. He's the lifelong president. Not 5 years, 10 years president, lifelong. And in his country, in his parliament, he got no opposition also. So whichever law he wants to pass, he can pass it. So you want Islam in the world, so keep Islam in your eyes. Says, look according to what Islam commands. Okay, bring Islam in your tongue, speak how Islam wants you to speak, in your mind, in your heart, hands, legs. Once you got Islam, everyone does this. Islam is alive in the world. Without any military, without any big budget, without officers, without computers, without anything. And Islam will be practically alive in the world. But the thing is, we are not sincere to ourselves. We say we want Islam alive in the world, then you can in your own country, in your own body, bring Islam alive, but we are not sincere to ourselves. So that is the first starting point, that a person must be sincere to himself. Then see in the home, just that ta'aleem will bring such a great change. And we won't get offended that if the wife tells us, you're telling us all about the sunnahs, but you're not making amal yourself, you won't take up 10 faults of hers. You're telling me, but you don't do this, you don't do that. That means you are not interested in your own Islam. You are interested in finding fault in other people. Whereas if you are sincere, when she tells you, you will accept it. And you say, and tell her, or you tell yourself, Inshallah, I will try. I slipped up, I made a mistake, I will try better. In this way, a person will improve himself. So may Allah bring it that we bring sunnahs alive in our lives. One sunnah that I'll mention at this time, which is relevant to our occasion also, that when women have to emerge from the home, Islam has given permission, the highest level of parda is that they don't come out of the house at all. But like for example, Hajj is faraz, you have to go out. You are, for your faraz Hajj you have to go. And for like for today, the men haven't got deen in their lives, so how can the woman learn from the men? So the women go out and they learn also. But the sunnah at this time is to observe the proper parda, the proper burqa when having to leave the home. And that is, it must not attract any, there must be no attraction in it. There must be no bead work in it. It mustn't be stylish. And today even burqas got brand names. There is no question of brand names in burqas. Kurtas got brand names also. Topis got brand names. And how the enemy has infiltrated and penetrated in us, that how sad also, that right at Rosa and Mubarak, they have made us the agents to bring music there on the cell phone. A person is making tawaf in the mataf of Makkah Sharif and music is playing, their phone rings, it's a musical tone. How they have made us their agents for their filth and their dirt. And right in our most Mubarak places, they have brought this in. So anyway, the sunnah, when women have to emerge from home, they should try and not leave the home unless it is absolutely necessary. And when they leave, then according to Sharia. If it is in a small distance, they don't need a mihram. When it's a longer distance, this is also becoming very unbecoming, that many Muslim women today are traveling around the world without mihrams. This is not correct at all. This should not be that. We should have a mihram. And then our clothing also must not be attractive and that it attracts a person. And the effect of having a mihram, any person will know. That any person at an airport, an officer, anyone, he sees a woman is on her own, and his ideas change with regard to that. The minute he sees there's a man with her, now his ideas change again completely. So mihram is a great, great protection Allah has put. And it is a great safeguard for a person. So having a mihram, Sharia has put this, it is very, very important that we observe that commandment. So may Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on this sunnah and all the sunnahs also. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I have recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, man, whosoever, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a learned person, an unlearned person, whether it is a person who is white or who is black, person who lives in a city or who lives in a rural area, anyone, man, anyone whatsoever. And two things that Allah says you should do. Whoever will do these two things. Amil as-salihat, do righteous deeds. And righteous deeds are those which are sanctioned by Allah Ta'ala. Which we today say sanctioned by Sharia, by Quran and Hadith. What we say today, the ulama say. They are saying from the Quran. And the Quran and Hadith is saying that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those are amal as-salihat, which are sanctioned like that. So whosoever will do amal salihah, mean then in between Allah Ta'ala has brought a sentence which is what we will say in brackets. Mean dhakarin or unta, more clear Allah has made it. Whether it's a male or whether it's a female, whosoever, rich person, poor person, learned, unlearned person, whoever will do amal salihah, but one more condition, wahuwa mu'min. And he has got iman also in him. So iman and amal salihah. Whoever will do this, then this is what we have to do. Allah has put that responsibility on us. Then in return from Allah's side, Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَفَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. The فَلَ, the lam ya is for stress, for putting stress on it. Allah is definitely that person. There is no doubt in that person. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ The noon with the tashdeed on it is also for stress. The lam is also for stress. The noon with tashdeed is also for stress. It is clear even if there's no stress, no qasam, it's Allah's word. It's absolute, it's final. But yet Allah put so much, undoubtedly, definitely, we will give him hayatan tayyibah. Hayat al-tayyibah, Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, Bayan al-Quran says, khushgawar zindagi, an enjoyable life we will. We promise that person an enjoyable life. That was in dunya. وَلَنَتْيَنَّمْ أَجْرَهُمْ And we will give them the reward of that amal salihah, that iman. وَلَنَتْيَنَّمْ أَجْرَهُمْ The reward, بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Not how much they give them, but much more better we will give them. In quantity also, and in quality also. Quantity, for example, a person lived for 60 years, so he should get 60 years Jannah. He worked for 60 years, he must get paid for 60. But by Allah, you won't get going Jannah for 60 years and now finish. You enjoyed yourself. You brought Iman for 60 years, you lived the life of Iman. Now you live for 60 years in Jannah, now out, come. Your time is up. No, forever and ever. Be ahsani, more better. Allahu Akbar. You work for 60 years. Some people pass away at the age of 15, 20. And forever and ever you are in Jannah. How kind is not Allah? That is quantity. As far as quality also is concerned. Yea, in this dunya, your iman, Allahu Akbar. Allah says in another ayat, that a person... That we will give you Jannah in return. What is that? Anyway, in one ayat of the Quran Sharif,
amanu amilu salihan kanadum jannat.
The other one, Allah Ta'ala says that you do your amal. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'minin. Allah has bought over from the believers. Allah, inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'minin anfusahum wa amwaluhum. Their lives also, and their nafs, and inside full aid in it, full fault. Wa amwaluhum, and your wealth. Today our wealth is also polluted. It gets polluted where and where along the way. This wrong, that wrong, where and where wrong. So Allah bought our aidar goods. Goods that got fault in it, Allah bought it over. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ And in return Allah gave Jannah which got no faults. Like the whole day the best fruit, vegetable here, people bought it, it's all gone. Now towards the evening, only the things that are now gone off, that are bad, just the leaves of the cabbages, all those things are left over. And then if some kind person has to come there, and he says, I'm buying this from you. And how much for what he sold the whole day? $100, I give you $1,000 for the, so to say, rubbish that is left now. And he's paying so much. Allah says, I'm buying your rubbish. And in return, I'm giving you that Jannah which got no rubbish in it. 100% pure. So kind is Allah Ta'ala. So, بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah Ta'ala in quantity also will give so much more greater than what a person had done. And in quality also, Allah Akbar, what won't be the ni'mat of Jannah? Dunya, for example, a person eats a guava, sweet, very nice guava, he's really enjoying it. And he's saying also, what a guava, how sweet, mashallah. And he wants to take his next bite, he see a worm walking there. Now he's wondering how many worms I ate up already. In my other 1-2 bites which I took, I don't know how many worms I ate up, now he's worried. But in Jannah, you'll eat the fruit of Jannah, and there not a worm will come out, a hurul een will come out. As you are eating, and if you have, you got a scientific mind and it tells you how can a hurul een live in a fruit? How can a worm live in a crow's to a fruit? Where does it get its oxygen? That is Allah Ta'ala. Allah's qudrat is so great. One time, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam asked Allah Rabbul Izzah that, Ya Allah, you are Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, the names of Allah Ta'ala. Dhul Jalal, that being whose awe, whose grandeur is so great. And at the same time, wal ikram, and you are so kind also. You've got so much power, you've got so much authority, you absolute authority, absolute power. But together with that, you are most generous, you are most kind. Generally in the world, the more a person becomes wealthier, he gets position, the more his nature becomes harder also. But Allah Ta'ala has got every authority, every power, everything is in the hands of Allah. But Allah, together with that, is most gracious, most kind, most merciful. Allah covers our faults. Allah is so kind. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam asked Allah Ta'ala, your quality of ikram, that you are so generous, so kind, so compassionate. I would like to see practically the explanation of it. Not just in writing or lecture, but practically. Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, take your stick and hit on a certain rock. He hit on that rock, it split into two. The one piece, Allah said, hit it again. He hit, it split into two again. From that pieces again, Allah said, hit on the one piece. He hit, it split into two again. Down in the deep crevices of the rock, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam saw a living worm. And not only a living worm, but with a green, fresh leaf in its mouth. So he was shocked and astonished that right in the crevices of a solid rock, not a soft guava, a solid rock, this he saw. And this, what I'm explaining is not from some comic strips, or not from Disneyland or somewhere. What I'm explaining is from Quran. The tafsir of the Quran has got this. So then Allah made him hear the zikr of that little worm also. And what was that this little worm making zikr in the depths and in the crevices of the rock? Subhanalladhi may yarani. Pure is that being who sees me right in the depths and the crevices of the rock also. سبحان الذي يراني ويعرف مكاني. And he knows my physical address also, where I stay, where Allah is so great, but he knows exactly where I stay. And وَيَرْزُقُنِي, and he sends my truckloads of rosy for me yet, right to my doorstep also. So great is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So anyway, Allah ta'ala bought our nafs and bought our maal, and Allah gave Jannah, which has got no fault whatsoever. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us, for what we make effort, how much Allah won't give in quantity and in quality. Therefore, we should not be overwhelmed and overtaken by this dunya. Dunya, ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Dunya is a tillage, a farm for the akhirah. Like a person does his farming, and on due time, he plows the farm, he puts his seeds, the rains come, he irrigates his farm, he's going to get his crops, inshallah. So this dunya is the place to make our hearts soft, to prepare for akhirah, to do our amal, to put the seeds of amal. The crop of it we will get in akhirah. Allah Ta'ala will give it. So anyway, analyzing this ayat, we see that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has mentioned four things in this ayat. Iman and amal is salihah, and enjoyable life in dunya, and a much more superior and better life in the akhirat, four things. Two of these things, Allah has made us responsible. We are responsible to see that we have our iman is correct, intact, it must be proper, and our amal must be correct. Two things, Allah has taken the responsibility. That in return, Allah will give you a wonderful life in this dunya, enjoyable life. And the akhirat also Allah will give you much more better. Yeah, He will give you a wonderful, enjoyable life. To understand that, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. A person who made khawf, who feared Allah, for once also in his lifetime, Allah has promised two jannats for that person. What are the two jannats? The ulama have given 10 different views, the mufassireen. The best view which they preferred was that jannatun fi dunya. One jannat is in this dunya already. Bi huduril mawla. Just by thinking about your Allah. Just by thinking about Allah, that is already, you have so much of enjoyment, it is a jannat of its own. Allah who is the most beautiful, Allah who is the most perfect, Allah who is the most kind, Allah who is the most generous. You just think of Allah, what enjoyment don't you? وَجَنَّةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِلِقَاءِ الْمَوْلَى. And the akhir, jannat in dunya, is when you are going to meet Allah Ta'ala. Like a boy gets engaged to get married. From the time the talks is now confirmed, everything, he's already thinking of his fiancée all the time. Or day and night, all the time he's thinking about her. And the day he gets married and he gets delivery of his parcel, what enjoyment doesn't he get there? That whole night he doesn't sleep also. All night he's awake, what enjoyment. So in Jannah, what enjoyment. Yeah, you are in the thoughts of Allah, there you're going to get Allah Ta'ala. And then what enjoyment won't there be? So anyway, two things Allah has put for us, that is Iman and Amal Salih. Only two things. And in return Allah has promised two things. Hayatan tayyiba, a wonderful life in this dunya, and a much more superior and better life in the akhirah. But unfortunately, we have reversed the roles. That hayatan tayyiba, it is conditioned, it is on condition. And also we must remember, a good life is not in our hands. Today our belief also is gone wrong, that I can make my life a good life. I can have a wonderful home, a wonderful, and a house and a home are two different things. You perhaps can make a wonderful house, but a wonderful home is not in your hands. Eh? That is to have peace in at home, love in the house, kindness in the house, etc. So just a house is a house. Even the kuffar, what houses are they building? But to have a home, that is what is important. Whether it is a simple little hut structure, but if it's a home, it is enjoyable. And if it is a wonderful mansion, but it's just a house, all furnished and everything, but the people, the hearts are torn apart of one another. They don't enjoy seeing one another. In fact, the husband just wants to be out of the house. The wife feels the more my husband is out of the house, the more I got peace at home. That is no home. That is just a house. Today we don't understand these differences. So anyway, you can perhaps, well, that also is not in your hands, but perhaps you can build your own house. But to make it a home is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. You can have the most flourishing business also. And you can be very busy and what turnover you are doing. But to see the fruit of it, the profits and enjoy, that is only in the hands of Allah. You can make lot of profits, crooks come, they rob you. And here in Zimbabwe we know the currency is just, the value is dropped, etc. All your money, the value is gone. All these things are happening all the time in the whole world. What happened in Burma, what happened in Mozambique, overnight all these things. And even if you have all that, even if you have your money, etc., you can do one deal. You're having now a beautiful riverfront house being built for your holidays and your enjoyment. There, when the contractor, something went wrong. And that house is standing half built. Contractor is gone with all your money, and these things are happening all the time. With government, these things are happening. People are robbing the governments also. These things are happening all the time. So it is not in our hands. It is in the hands of Allah. But what we have been fooled, that dunya is in my hands. I can make my dunya. I can make it enjoyable. And whoever tried that, they've been deceived, but they have seen for themselves we have been deceived. A person makes money all the time, but he gets no time to enjoy his money. He's making money to have an enjoyable life, but the money becomes his hobby. And then he's just engaged in money all the time. A person, for example, sports players, they play all their sports in order to have fun, play sports. But then it becomes not only a game or not just a lifestyle, not only then it does it become your religion, it becomes your God. They die for the sport. How many people kill for sports also? And all that. And these sports people and all the celebrities, we think, oh, what a great celebratory. A singer, a poet, a sportsman, whatever. But you see their own one, a woman of France who was a model. Also a big celebrity. That was, she models and that. She became a Muslim. And the story is quite interesting also. But she met a Muslim model also. And that Muslim model told her, I'm going to pray. She said, take me also to pray. And when she prayed once in a lifetime, she wasn't still Muslim. She just made prayer like that. We will say namaz. She made ruku. She made sajda. She was shocked. There is so much of enjoyment in this. We take it for granted. But she got shocked, she accepted Islam. And she then explained that people see us on the stage, we are modeling, we are wearing dresses and we are walking in front of the people, catwalk and whatever, and we are how we are. But she said, when we go to our rooms, we cry. We are the most loneliest people, the most depressed people. We just put up a show in front of people, but we got no enjoyment. So she accepted Islam and she found peace there. So we think the things of this dunya, whatever it may be, being a big businessman, having a lot of money, being a big sportsman, being this, being that, and this is going to bring us pleasure. These people, in most cases, they are the most depressed people. And they are most lonely people and the most sad people. You can only find happiness when Allah gives you happiness. Happiness is not in material things. Samane rahat aur cheez hai, rahat aur cheez hai. The things of comfort is something else. Comfort itself is something else. An easy example to understand this, you got $2,000-$3,000 in your pocket. You can go and buy the best bed in the furniture shops. But sleep is not sold anywhere. The bed is sold. You can buy the bed. But sleep you cannot buy. Sleep you might think is in sleeping tablets or in a doctor's injection. This takes you to the med hospital. And finally you become a lunatic and you commit suicide also. And so many, not only they commit suicide, they kill the whole family, then they kill themselves. These are daily reports in the newspapers, especially policemen who got their firearms. Hey, they killed their whole family, or they killed all their friends, colleagues at the police station. Then they turned the gun upon themselves. So in that sleeping tablets, there isn't peace and comfort. So sleep is something else, and a bed is something else. But what the enemy has made full effort, and to what extent also they have become successful, that we think, I got a wonderful bed, so I'm going to sleep peacefully. The person who sleeps outside on the pavement, he gets a peaceful sleep. Sleep is with hard work during the day. Sleep is that you haven't done anything wrong to Allah also, to His creation also. You got no worry, you got no guilty conscience on you. You have a guilty conscience, you can't fall asleep. You've got music playing also. I'm not explaining the masala, it's haram music. But I'm just giving an example. Soft music also. Temperature also is perfect. Just ideal for sleeping. Everything. You have unplugged your phone also. The doorbell you have taken or you have switched it off. So no disturbance. But sleep is only from Allah. And your husband, your wife can tell you also sweet dreams. And sleep tight and sleep sweet. But nothing can help. Only it is from Allah Ta'ala. If Allah gives you that sleep. And if there's no sleep, you're turning and tossing the whole night. So we must not be fooled by the things of dunya. The reality is something else. So we were responsible to see to iman and amal saliha. But we got no time to make effort for our iman. And we got no time to make effort on amal. We are doing what Allah was going to do for us. That we want to build our house, we want to earn money, we want to do all the things. And also we thinking that in material things, in money, rands and cents, dollars and cents, in there is what happiness in a foreign person. It's not in money. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, rand mein kahan se chain. Chain, peace and it's not in a rand, the rands and the cents. Chain hai Allah ke zikr mein. In the remembrance of Allah, that is where a person finds, he finds chain, he finds sukoon, itminan. And this remembrance of Allah also, we try sometimes, we make some zikr, we read Quran, we don't find peace. The example of that the ulama have given, like a fish, if it is half in water, it hasn't got peace. It has to be fully in water. And the minute a fish senses some danger, it goes in deep waters, right down. So like that, just being half in dunya and half in zikr, we are in the masjid, but only our body we dropped off at the masjid. But our soul is still in the business. Our soul is traveling around in the world, not only in the business here, now we are booking tickets for there, now we are gone there, now we are in this airport. What and what things we do. Now the car is at the garage. Now what and what things we do. So such a namaz cannot give us peace. That namaz gives us peace when the body and the soul are in namaz. We are immersed in the remembrance of Allah. And for that a person has to do an intensive course by some Allah wala who has got this in his life. We stay by him and this rubs off onto us. That is when it will come. Not like we go in Jamaat 40 days, we go 4 months also. Then while we in Jamaat, we sitting on the floor and eating all the sunnahs. But when we come home, first thing, we finish all that sunnahs are out now. Now we are again sitting at the table and we are eating, etc. So in this way it doesn't come. It comes when it is fully, it comes into us. So we have to bring that. So anyway, one beautiful example, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to give, that a father told his son that if you pass your exams, I will buy you a bicycle. So the son got very happy, I'm going to get a bicycle. But now what he had to do, pass the exam. So he had to study hard, do his work properly, and then pass. Then the bicycle is ready there for him. But instead of that, he's starting on when he has to do homework, assignment, he's drawing bicycles. And all, the bicycle must have gears also. Bicycle must have a mirror also. Bicycle must have all this extra seat at the back. And all the things he's thinking of the bicycle. And instead of studying, he's going on all the bicycle shops in town, looking at all the bicycles. Now he didn't study. Exam time he fails, he gets a zero, nothing, because he didn't study at all. And now he goes and asks his father for the bicycle. Father sees his report, you bicycle, he gives him one slap, one kick, one bicycle. So like that, Allah Ta'ala told us, you do amali salih. And I will give you Jannah, I will give you a wonderful life. Now we are looking at a wonderful life, we are not looking at a'mal salihah. We are even more stupid than that small little child. That we are just looking at building our houses, our gardens, our income, our dunya all the time. And what we have to do to work on a'mal salihah, that we don't do. And now we go into qabr, you are in dunya already. Allah sees your report, no a'mal salihah, zero. Or just little bit, and that also with no reality in it, lifeless amal, namaz that hasn't got life in it, tilawat that hasn't got life in it, zikr that hasn't got life in it, and then we are expecting a life of peace and comfort. And we are thinking that people who make effort on dunya, especially non-believers, and even Muslims who have earning so much, they're living it up, it looks like they are having a wonderful life. Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained on one occasion that in this dunya where you see a person with wonderful outward life, be sure there is a lot of haram behind the scenes. Without that you cannot get it. For example, Mufti Sahib explained that today even what we see is halal and legal in good homes also, everything. But the women are working also. So that is not correct. They are going out of the house. They are also going to the shops. They are going to the factories. And Mufti Taqi Usmani, Ahmad Barakat, explained so beautifully. He says when a woman works in the house to feed her husband, or the family, the children, the husband, she brings food, she puts what you want tea, you want juice, what you want, she brings it, she gives it. Then she's regarded as an old-fashioned woman, a backward woman. And when she does the same thing as an air hostess, there also she's serving people and other people. Now she's regarded as a very progressive woman. She's an air hostess. Or she's a hostess in a hotel and we're serving people there. We're serving her own husband, her own children, that is regarded as backward. And there you serve, a wife can work for her husband from home. She works everything and she's doing all his work. That she's regarded as backwards. But she goes work for another firm and she is as a secretary. And now she's regarded as progressive. So anyway, for all this, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also explained that you have a wedding according to our custom. That for 6 months before preparation start and people are coming. And then the 1 week before, one night is a mehndi night, one night is a qawwali night, one night is what and what, all those things. So he asked, is that easy? So they said, it's very hard, lot of money, but people will do it. They say, we have to do it. Varna na kar jayegi. Our respect will go if we don't do it. What will people say? What will society say? Then he said, one nikah is according to sunnah. Proposal is made, accepted, and nikah is made in the masjid. One night after Isha, after Maghrib, any night, Friday, Jummah, whatever. So simple it is. So he asked, isn't that easy? All said, very easy. Well, you will do it very hard, because what the people will say, and how many people they speak. And for us, once one family member told, is this a nikah or is it a mayyat? It's like a janazah, that you know all this big hullabaloo, all the people coming, dressing and all, the getting together and the joking and the talking and all that. And more enjoyment they find when man, woman also mix. You talk to one another and you, that is more enjoyment. But that is so hard. And sunnat way is so easy. So, how many of haram things we bring in there also? Then Mufti Sahib explained that you have a meal. For example, the type of dastarkhans we have. He told us in South Africa that every dastarkhan that looks so rosy and so much of food, everything, but he says so much haram is involved in that. The woman either have to go and earn also. If they don't earn, they go and do shopping. They are not satisfied what the husband will buy. And just the, whatever he will buy, sometimes the wife tells the husband, buy potatoes, he will buy onions. He brings onions at home. Tell him to buy carrots, he goes and buys beetroots, and he brings. Now they're not happy. We must go ourselves. And then they want to choose, so they have to go out of the house. That is also a haram and unnecessary thing for you. It was not necessary for you to go out. So all that, and then how many places we have, many places the we have females working in the house. Now the, for the men to see them and they mix freely, all one is you keep your precaution. And you don't mix with them, you don't see. But today it has become, they like part of the family. The men also talk with them and everything. Many places they got men working in the house. The woman mix freely with them, talk with them all the time. All this way is for me. Where can there be permission? So in order to put that dastarkhan, without all this here, you can't do it. All the preparation of the food, everyone, all of them are doing. And then the earnings and then the shopping. And then to set that dastarkhan takes time again. In fact, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, explained this when Hazrat was teaching Bukhari Sharif, a hadith comes that if supper is ready and Isha Namaz, Jamaat is ready, what must you do first? Must you make your first your Isha or must you first eat your supper? So the answer to it is have your supper first. Eat your supper and then you go and make Isha. So the students asked the Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi, if we're going to sit down for supper, Jamaat will be over already. We'll miss our Jamaat. So the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi explained the situation and said, unka khana tumhare baawa jaise khana chora tha. Their food was not like how you people eat food. To send the dastarkhan takes half an hour. And then to bring the food and then again, first cause is there, second cause is there, third cause is there. It wasn't there, they just ate few khajurs, drank water, finished, gone. And they got Jamaat also. And if you make your namaz first and you are hungry, your whole namaz you're thinking about food. And if you eat first, while eating you're thinking about namaz. I mustn't miss my takbir-e-ula. I mustn't miss my first rakah. So you make your food namaz. And if you will make namaz first, you'll make your namaz food. You're going to be thinking, oh, my stomach really qulhu Allah. I'm so hungry and you just want to be on the dastarkhan. So this simplicity is very important. So anyway, if we, what Allah has commanded us, that we must see to our iman and our a'mal. That is what Allah has made us respond. If we will do that, in return, Allah has promised that He will give you in this dunya, hayatun tayyibah. If our iman is on the Quran, not just in the air, but in reality, this is the ayat of the Quran, Allah has declared, you see to iman and amal salihah, I will give you an enjoyable life. Also to understand an enjoyable life is different. Today we have misunderstood what is an enjoyable life. Today enjoyable life generally is drugs, boozing, drinking, womanizing, sex all the time, dunya all the time, robbing people, sports, that we think is that person is having a wonderful life. Whereas all that, what has it given to the people of the world? It has given them AIDS, it has given them HIV, it has given them depression, it has given them suicide, it has given them broken homes, it has given them delinquent children, that type of life. An enjoyable life, the proper way, is that you observe the commands of Allah. Your children are the coolness of your eyes. You see your wife, she's like a whore of Jannah. That life, not that you going around with every woman and sleeping around with every woman, that's not an enjoyable life. Today we think that is an enjoyable life. That is the most filthiest and dirtiest life. Even on the surface it is not nice and enjoyable and clean. It is filthy and dirty on the surface. And more worse is what is inside. The minute you go into such a life, it's like opening a can of worms. The can itself also is dirty outside. You open it and all the worms start coming out. And then you can't escape from that. So that is that type of life. We should not be deceived by that. Unfortunately, people generally, Muslims also, we think that is the right way of life. In dressing also, for example, sunnah dressing. One of the major aspects of sunnah dressing is to wear loose clothing. And this type of clothing, the other, is to wear tight clothing. Even a burqa today. A woman doesn't wear burqa, she wears a cloak, tight fitting, which shows every part of her body. Where if she's coming from the front, you see all the parts of the body from the front. If she's going the other way, the back, you see all the tight fitting. No, look, and tight fitting clothes are so unhealthy. It restricts the blood flow in the body. And today, a person, one major thing, if a doctor checks you up, he checks your blood circulation, whether you're having good blood circulation. Today, the type of shoes, the woman with that sharp pointed shoes, and with that high heels, how many places? One place we had to go for a program, I had to wait one side, and the woman were passing. Now you're not allowed to look up, you look down. So I saw the toes of the woman, and the toes like the roots of trees, going one over the other. How terrible it is. This is the consequence of wearing all this wrong type of clothes. And we think it's enjoyment to wear that high heels. That high heels, go and read up, go and see, Google. We Google so much, Google this. The harms of this high heels, the harms of this tight clothing, jeans that they wear, so tight clothing. The spencers that they wear, so if it's tight clothing, all the other clothes. And one of the major causes of women's breast cancer is the brazier. And that brazier that is tight on the body, but the woman wants to show a shape of her body, of her breast, etc. And she wears that. And that causes breast cancer for the woman. So all this lifestyle, dirty, filthy lifestyle, nothing. If you wear loose clothes, you enjoy a healthy life. And you enjoy your husband, you can serve him. He enjoys your healthy life. Your children enjoy your healthy life. Otherwise, you become a burden to everyone. Your health is gone, deteriorated. You can't do anything for yourself. Others have to do for you. So all this Western life, any lifestyle, Western or Eastern, old or new, which is against Islamic way of life, is a dirty, is a harmful way of life. It destroys a person in every way. So therefore, it's very necessary that we come on to what Allah wants us, Iman. And Iman also, just a little bit explanation on Iman. Like that, Alhamdulillah, we are all happy we got Iman. That is why we are here. But just the first basic point, Iman has got many branches. Ulama have written up to 72 branches of Iman. But the basic one is Tawheed, oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And in there also there is great detail. Tawheed of Allah is not just simple, that just I believe in one Allah. But in the very basics, there are three aspects of Tawheed. One is in the Zaat, the being of Allah Ta'ala. That Alhamdulillah, generally Muslims accept one Allah. Christians say there are two Allahs, or three Allahs. They believe in Trinity, etc. Hindus believe in how many idols, etc. And also some Muslims, especially of the Bareilvi school of thought, and even the Shias, they've got many other who they believe are gods and who do things for them. And they believe that Muzurgs can do things for them. The doer is only Allah Ta'ala. So one is to believe only in one Allah. That Alhamdulillah generally is there. Then the second is to believe in the oneness of Allah as far as His sifat, His attributes are concerned. Allah, how Allah is Rahman, nobody else is Rahman like. Somebody else can be merciful also, but cannot be merciful as Allah. Allah is Ghaffar, the forgiver. Allah alone is the good. Nobody else can forgive as Allah forgives. Allah forgives. Hey, a husband, he finds it very hard to forgive his wife, but he might forgive her, but he can't forget. Allah doesn't forget, but Allah destroys all those files. What a person here, once Allah has forgiven you, all the files are destroyed. No case will be brought against you on the day of Qiyamah if Allah forgives you. Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq. Allah is not in need of our shop to give us rosy. Allah is not in need of our job to give us rosy. How many people in the world are unemployed? They are not dying, they are eating. Allah is making the arrangement. Somehow or the other, Allah Ta'ala makes the arrangement. So to believe in the oneness of Allah as far as His sifat and qualities and attributes are concerned. Then we must believe in the oneness of Allah in the af'al, the actions, the work of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah alone is the giver of hidayah. No Nabi can give hidayah also. Allah says clearly in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Oh my Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, you are my greatest Nabi, my most beloved Nabi, but you can't also give Hidayat whom you want. I will give. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I made shukr to Allah that Allah kept Hidayat in his hands. If Hidayat was in the hands of his Nabi, he should give his uncle's Hidayat first before he gives Bilal. Bilal from Habsha, a black man. But Allah gave me Hidayah. Hey, while the uncles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, many of them didn't get Hidayah. So Hidayah is in the, is not in the hands of any Nabi or any Wali or Tabligh Jamaat or Sufis or Ulama. It is in Allah's hand. Effort we must make. But in our effort, we are responsible for effort. But Hidayah is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. The same way, shifa, cure, is not in the hands of the doctors or hospitals. Shifa is in the hands of Allah. Otherwise, we find one patient, one ward, all sugar patients. 15 patients in that ward. And they all got the sugar. So, if cure was in the doctor's hands, all the 15 will get cure. But the doctor comes on his rounds every day. For one, he increases his dosage. Another one, he decreases. Another one, he told him yesterday, you can go home today. He said, no, you can't go. You'll have to stay another week. Another one, he said, you'll have to stay 1 week. Okay, you can go home. You are well now. Everyone is, it's in the hands of Allah. How Allah Ta'ala gives. It's not in the hands of the doctor. It's not in the hands of the hospital. So this tawheed of ours, this is still at stake. That we must do everything. We must have complete belief in the oneness of Allah. And the oneness of Allah in His sifat and attributes also. Oneness of Allah in his af'al and his actions and work also. This a great, great person like Khaja Aziz al-Hassan sahab, Madzub rahmatullah alayhi, says, Maut mujhe na aaye, jab tak ke mein raaz-e-tawheed se aaga na ho jau. I must not die until I understand, believe and accept tawheed. That whatever happens, one Hadrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Araftu Rabbi bifaskhil azahim. I recognized and found my Allah when my plans broke. If everything happens to our plans, that means we the God of our plans. We made a plan, it worked. But when it didn't work, we realized that somebody else's plan was working. It's not my plan, and his plan is over my plan. His plan is the stronger plan. So that iman on tawheed. Then we must have, for example, as far as sifat is concerned, the ikhlas, sincerity. If we do whole life amal, but there isn't sincerity in it, it's all zero. We might be doing great, great deeds, but if there isn't ikhlas, it's zero. And if we ever check whether I got ikhlas in me. For sugar, we go to doctor, we check our sugar, we check our blood pressure, all that we check up, everything, monthly, if before, every day, we're getting a copy of our bank statement, and we check whether everything is right or what. That the money mustn't be perhaps drawn out by somebody. But our iman, do we ever check if my iman is intact? We don't. So Allah wants from us iman and amal saliha. And on that Allah has promised for us that wonderful life in the dunya and the real wonderful life. A peaceful, happy life in the dunya and much, much more superior in the akhirah. So the procedure is we must be worried about our iman and our amal. And then Allah has promised what we have to do, that what we want, Allah will give us. We want a nice life in this dunya. And for those of us who got iman on akhirah, we want a good life there also. So that is what we want. In return, Allah wants from us iman and amal saliha. But we are worried of a good life, we're not worried of iman is salah. And we are hoping it's going to come. So in this, and then the sunnah that I mentioned of simplicity, simplicity in dressing, simplicity in the home, etc. It is a very great sunnah to have simplicity. But today brand names, fashion has become the order of the day. And we spend so much money on brand names. And what difference does it make? Absolutely no difference. But we just obsessed with all those things. May Allah bring the reality of deen, and this can only come with the effort of deen. Not only when a jamaat comes, or there is a visiting alim, or even when the local ulama give us talks, etc. But it must be a continuous thing. And for that, ta'aleem in the house is very, very important. Secondly, take part as much as we can in the work of tabligh and da'wah. And thirdly, make our contact with some sheikh of tariqat and have a living contact with him. And make our islah through that. Then inshallah, we will get what Allah wants from us, it will come into our lives. Otherwise, as soon as we are going from here, as soon as we have stepped out, the ladies also, the men, all we, as we are sitting, we got worries. I must pick up my child from school, I must go to shop, I must do this already. And as soon as we are out, finish, all these things are out of our mind. Immediately it is just like we change the page and the page is blank. All that came is gone, it's finished, it's forgotten. And now we are worried again about lunch now, about meeting this person, doing this work, doing that work. I've got this to say. How many of us must be watching the watch also? That I hope Maulana finishes now. I have to go, I left my pot on the stove. And the milk is going to spill over. This is going to happen. So like that, how can deen come? When we are continuously in it, then inshallah deen will come. Allah give us all tawfiq. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Oh Allah, accept our gathering today. Oh Allah, accept our coming. Accept our going from here. Accept our listening. Accept our talking. Oh Allah, make it out of your mercy. You declare it to be for your pleasure. And put it in the account of your pleasure, oh Allah. No matter how weak we are, no matter how much we have faulted, but you accept it and put it in the account of your pleasure. Oh Allah, make it the means of our hidayah and make it the means of us coming on to deen in the true sense of the word. Not just an outward picture of deen, but deen with its reality. Oh Allah, let us realize that the deen is not going to be changed by us or by anyone. There is no mild and watered down deen, but the deen which you gave to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, make it easy for us to practice upon that deen. Oh Allah, give us and all jinnah that iman in Islam with which you are pleased. Let us live by it, let us die by it. Raise us by it and enter us into Jannatul Firdaus with it. Oh Allah, from now till maut, from maut till Jannatul Firdaus, all the situations that are going to come, make them so easy and comfortable that we don't even realize and we have been entered into Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, safeguard our iman, safeguard our Islam, our amal. Oh Allah, especially at the time of maut, be most merciful and kind to us. Save us totally and completely from shaitan and all his evil inspirations. And safeguard our iman and take us with iman, oh Allah. For us, our children, our family, our friends, our associates, everyone, oh Allah, whoever we had contact with in this dunya, let us all be together in Jannah. Let not one of us be missing there. Let us all be in the enjoyments and pleasures of Jannah and in the shadow of your enjoyment and your pleasure and your happiness. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله